broadcasting from inside the Jim Butler Ballroom of the beautiful Mitzvah Hotel, KFAB and Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop is proud to present Drive Time Tonopah with your host, Faye and Brenda.
I'm the Faye driver, and I'm in front of our studio here at the Mitzvah Hotel, always generous with their sponsorship. Tonight, before we get into Drive Time Tonopah, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what the Mitzvah Hotel is offering. But first, some history for you. Fred and Nancy Klein, owners of the newly remodeled Mitzvah Hotel, are proud to announce their new Lady in Red premium packages. Legend and the current staff will tell you that the Mitzvah Hotel is haunted by the famous Lady in Red. Back in the 1920s, the Lady in Red was a call girl with yellow feathers in her hair and her dress cut down to there. Well, one night, in a crime of passion, the Lady in Red was murdered outside a room on the fifth floor by a jealous gentleman caller. Since her untimely death, her spirit has walked the halls, sometimes leaving behind a single pearl on a pillow or nightstand as a simple calling card. Never missing an opportunity, Sherry Wolfrey, the current hotel manager, decided to make the Lady in Red really feel welcome. Sherry, tell us what's going on at the Mitzvah Hotel.
Well, hi, Faye. Thank you for coming over today. It's a beautiful day here in Tonopah, isn't it?
It always is in Tonopah.
Yes. Yes, we love our resident ghost, the Lady in Red. And lately she has been showing us how much she loves us, too.
Oh, tell me how this came about.
Well, it's an interesting story. Larry, my bar manager, came in one morning, and I was going through the nightly receipts. He told me they had a really interesting, one-of-a-kind experience the night before when he was closing. He went into the walk-in cooler to put away some wine and some spirits that hadn't been used, and he felt this kind of weird presence in the cooler with him, which isn't that unusual, Faye. Our Lady in Red pops up almost on a daily basis somewhere, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me if Larry had said hi to her.
Oh, yes. Well, Larry's very friendly.
Have you met Larry? He's a good guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's been with us for a long time. So Larry's about ready to walk out of the walk-in cooler, and all of a sudden he felt this strange warmth on him.
Oh.
And let me give you the G-rated version of what happened. The next thing he knew, he said he needed a change of trousers, and he had found an alternate use for the bar towels I keep having to replace here.
Well, that's very interesting, but how did you turn this into a marketing idea?
Well, it got me to thinking. I mean, the life of a ghost must be kind of boring, and maybe she is looking and reaching out to us to try to get our help. So I thought, Our Lady in Red really liked her previous life and her previous career. Why not give her a job here at the hotel? This is what we've come up with. I'm really excited about these new premium packages we are now offering here at the Mitzvah Hotel.
Oh, this sounds very interesting. Tell me what your packages are.
Well, Faye, we've got three great packages here. Very affordable. The first one is called the Screaming Butler. It's just $25. And at some point of your stay, the Lady in Red will whisper some sweet nothings in your ear.
Oh, how delightful.
Yes. The second package is called the Pack Mule. It's only $50, a little bit more expensive. This is something she's been doing with us for years. It's a game of hide and seek. At some point, again, we can't really pinpoint when she'll do it, but she'll take one of your possessions she finds in your room and hides it somewhere in the hotel. Hopefully it won't be in the commode upstairs. That's what she usually does to us.
Well, that sounds just like what a ghost might do.
And finally is the Silver Queen. Now, this is for adults only. It's $150, a little more expensive. But this is our premium package for men and women. The Lady in Red will give you a special private visit in your room, and we do guarantee a ghost load.
Hello, nurse.
Well, we'll be sure to reserve our rooms at the new and improved Mitzvah Hotel.
Yes, Faye, and we're proud to announce we are now accepting Diners Club cards.
That's terrific. Well, thank you very much, Sherry Wolfrey from the Mitzvah Hotel. I'm the Faye driver, enjoying my stay here. I'm the Faye Driver.
And I'm Brenda Boo.
Thank you for joining us on Drive Time to NOPA tonight. How are you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad I'm not in Iowa right now. I'm glad I'm here in the nice dry desert because back home, any time now, there's snow is supposed to be falling from the sky. People have been taking the milk and the bread and the eggs and stockpiling it. And
oh, yeah. You're having a dairy glut.
Yes.
Not to mention the fact that right now the stores are packed anyway. People trying to get their Christmas crap together. I understand completely. We, too, here in Vancouver are getting snowed under, which is a bit unusual for us. So we're dealing with that madness along with the Christmas rush.
Do you guys have equipment to support the snow falling, or does it just melt away and you guys slip and slide until it's gone?
No, actually, our city does pretty well with dealing with snow. What is good for me is that I live near a couple of schools. They are a high priority for clearing snow and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the snow plows out this morning. What I don't like about snow plows is they also spray sand,
mm-hmm.
sand and gravel, and I'm not a fan of that.
No.
But so our roads are actually pretty good. They're well tended, especially now. In fact, our snow has stopped, so we're just in cleanup mode. And I expect the snow to be rain-drenched away because it's starting to warm up again. So we'll be back in action in a day or so.
Do you feel like you're pretty confident riding around in the snow with your defensive driving skills, I think is what they call them?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I grew up in a much farther north where we had snow for about 4 to 5 months of the year. So I am an experienced snow driver, and I'm a wise snow driver. I don't accelerate quickly, and I leave plenty of room for stopping. I'm not afraid to drive in the snow around here, even though Vancouver snow is not the best snow. Like, it's terrible snow to drive in because it's really gooey and slushy and slick.
Gooey.
It's a very wet snow. So.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
It's harder to drive in than snow that stays nice and cold, like probably what you have.
Yeah, we got the freezing rain yesterday, and I was out cleaning, and both times I went out to my car, then I had to scrape it off, which is a pain in the ass, trying to get that frozen shit off there.
But you have your brand new tires now.
Yeah, I do.
On your car, and I want to hear how you're making out. How do you like your new tires?
They are much better, Faye, because before, even with just a little bit of water, I would stop at a stoplight, I would put on the necessary gas to get my car out of first gear, and the tires would be spinning. And now, even with the ice on the streets and the snow, there's been no spinning. I feel confident when I'm going around the corner. Before, when I would be driving around even the slightest corner, I always felt like I needed to decelerate a little bit because I could kind of feel the tires kind of just gliding along.
Yeah.
Just a hint of traction. So I can tell the difference. They're still actually pretty noisy, though. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I know you haven't had new tires for about 4 years.
At least. Never bought new tires.
Right. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I wonder what they would do here in Tinope if they ever got any snow. Although, we are at 6,000 feet elevation, so the mountains get snow all the time.
Right. In fact, I think if we looked really hard out from the Jim Butler Ballroom here, if we could just crack open the heavy black blackout curtains,
yes.
We would probably see just a wispy dusting of snow on those mountains out there. So,
yeah.
It reminds me of home, I have to say.
Oh, yes. You have mountain view all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Jealous. I'm jealous.
Well, you can always come back and visit sometime. I'm sure that's on your New Year's resolution.
You let me back? I was going to ask you, I thought, oh, Faye's got his new vacation schedule. Maybe I should ask him. And I'm like, Brenda, don't give him a break. Just let him pretend like you're not coming back for a while.
Funny thing is, all of our vacations have been redacted.
Redacted? What does that mean?
Pulled away, removed. We're not allowed to have vacation next year.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You are so... I hate you, mostly. For being my friend, you sure are a bit of a snit. I don't know what that means. Mm. Oh, that's a good segue. Let me tell you about how immature I was at Target today.
Oh, yes, please do.
So we went. I went swimming, as I do. I am up to 45 laps now, Faye. That's an hour of swimming. Are you proud of me?
Wow, that is remarkable. That's fantastic.
And that's no stopping. That's just, there's no resting at the end. It's just boom, 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 back and forth.
Wow, an hour and a half?
No, an hour.
An hour, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah, so it's a little over a minute a lap it takes me. We have a small pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling stronger. My pants are getting loose. And that's one of my goals next year, is to continue to whittle away at the amount of the different foods that I allow myself to eat.
Right.
Like, well, I guess I can't eat this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the hardest part, though, is,
yeah,
you know, diet is a huge problem. It's one of the most difficult things to change about your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Is the way that you eat, but it can be such an empowering thing when you're trying to manage your weight and stuff. So I encourage you, keep doing it.
Yeah. Can I tell you, this is what, I don't mean to sound like myself in 1977, because I would do this to people, but I'm going to do it right now. So today, all I had to eat was my English muffin and my yogurt, like I have for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
For lunch, we went out, and I indulged in a pancake and two pieces of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then to just now, I had a banana with some cookie butter on it. But so, I mean, that's all I had to eat today. I mean, that's a little lighter than normal, but I don't ingest that much food in the course of a day.
Yeah, I know that about you, because you've been here and you hardly eat anything.
It's not fair.
Except for those damn candies. You're always on those damn candies.
Oh, the ones in my mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nonstop. That's definitely an oral fixation.
What you need is a rock. Just pick a rock up off the ground, put it through your dishwasher, and suck on a rock.
Okay, I don't have a dishwasher, so I'd have to sterilize it in another way. But knowing me, I'd choke on it. I'd be... Why are you trying to kill me?
Well, you don't choke on your candies.
No, but I know at some point they get small and I'll crunch them.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, so anyway, it freshened my breath, too.
I mean, it's when we're sitting in this studio so close, side by side, you want me to have fresh breath, don't you?
Right. I don't want that paint-peeling bad breath that scoliosis has.
Oh, that poor thing. If she didn't have such a pretty face, I don't know what she'd do with herself.
True.
Her figure needs some work. Anyway, so when I was at Target today, after we'd gone swimming and we had a nice lunch, Eric wanted to pick up some spicy spices because he's realized he can cook a mean chicken in the crock pot. He did that last weekend. It was really good.
What did you say? You said specie spices?
Yeah, that's what we call spices. Specie spices.
Okay.
They're spices.
Yeah.
It's American. Gotcha. Anyway, so we're getting all the way through the store, and we're at the end, and I recruited Eric to get me my cookie butter because it was way up high and I couldn't reach it. Actually...
Brenda, that should be a clue, or that should be a driving force for you to avoid the cookie butter because it's out of reach.
I can't give it up yet. I'll just take it and have a little spoonful at the end of the day. I mean, it's like a cookie. It's really little more than a cookie. And even this lady, I said, "Bunny, I need your height." And there was another girl standing there, and she was taller than me. And she got my first jar for me. Wasn't that sweet?
Oh, no.
I'm enabled.
You couldn't just do with one jar?
Oh, I had to have two. They're not very big. They're not very big jars.
Okay.
Well, they go twice so fast.
And you were too embarrassed to say, "Would you mind giving me another one?"
No,
to the girl?
No, Eric came over. And he goes, "Oh, you're going to need another one, aren't you?" He enables me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll have to have a word with him.
Oh, no, you won't. We got it worked out. So we're going to go to...
This is a symbiotic relationship. He gets you your cookie butter and you
eat it
in return for him.
What do I do? I deal with his smart mouth and his sarcastic attitude. That's what I do.
Okay. All right. So you got your cookie butter.
And we're going to go down the next aisle, which is vegetables. Anyway, so I look up, and you know how when you do the virtual double take with your eyes when you recognize somebody?
Yes.
Well, I saw this girl, and I did it, and it was somebody that I actually used to live with.
Oh, my.
And we were lovers for a short while.
A boy?
No, it was a girl. I wanted to see what you'd say. No, it was a girl. And we weren't lovers.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I met her in college. Her friend was my roommate in one of the dorms. And she was always around, so then we got to be friends, and then we lived together. And then I tried to reconnect with her about 4 years ago, and she is the kind of person that is always late, who makes everything really complicated. And I just finally, the last time I had to deal with her, I was like, "I'm done. I'm done playing your games. I don't want to fuck with you anymore." And I saw her there, and I told Eric, I'm like, "Oh, wait, I need to go back down this aisle." So I avoided.
Oh, so you avoided her.
I avoided her.
Did she see you?
I don't know. If she did, she didn't make any effort to say anything because we were there for about 15 seconds before I kind of got turned around. So
yeah,
she could have heard my voice and recognized me, but...
Right.
What do you think about that? And I'll tell you why I didn't say anything to her.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. If I see someone that I knew that I didn't want to be associated with or didn't want to talk to again, I'd probably avoid them too.
Yeah.
I mean, I would absolutely. I've done it. So
yeah.
I would do the same thing.
Do you know why I did it?
Why?
I just didn't want to reopen that can of worms. I didn't want to have that conversation where, "Oh, my God, how have you been? We should get together. Here's my phone number." Blah, 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 you know. I just didn't even want to go through the motions of, you know, doing that again. And I felt like a schmuck. And as we were in the next aisle and they were going the opposite direction, I assume... I felt like, "Oh, if I don't mention this to Eric," because he didn't notice, and he didn't, you know, I didn't tell him. I'm like, "If I don't tell Eric, then it never really happened." And then I waited till we got in the car, and I said, "I just did something so immature."
I don't know. I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have a really good relationship with this person?
We were very good friends. And then when we lived together... She would do these flighty girl things, you know? Like, for example, let me give you a quick few examples. I had a sweater. Apparently, I had set it on the back of a chair. And it had been sitting there for a couple of days, and I forgot about it. And she said, "Do you want that sweater? It's been sitting there for a couple..." I don't know. She said something real passive-aggressive, like basically, "I'm sick of looking at that sweater sitting there. Move it," you know? I don't know. She came home from a trip, and I had been watching our pets, and one of the pets had peed on her bed, and I don't think it was my cat. I think it was her dog. And she came home, and she pulls the bedding off of the bed. She takes it to the laundromat. She doesn't say a word. I'm like, she's really pissed off. I can tell. I finally said, "What's going on?" one of the animals peed on my bed. And I just got home, and now I have to deal with this. And I'm like, why? I didn't pee on your bed. I don't know who did it. When we moved in together, we said, now, let's just us girls, let's not be dragging guys in here, you know, if they want to stay over. But we don't need to be having our boyfriends living here. In less than a month, she had her boyfriend living with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just roommate shit.
Right.
And then, you know, if she said she'd be there at noon, she'd be there at 12:45. The time.
Oh, I would never tolerate that.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, you know, no great loss then, right?
No, but it always makes your heart go a little bit in that second where you're deciding what to do.
Yeah, so. It's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. Did you go shopping at all today?
I did. It's been a very busy day around here, around the castle.
Yes.
We went to the grocery store. We had to go get Mr. Anderson's scooter from the scooter shop because it was in for its annual going to bed for the winter service.
Mm.
So we dealt with that today. And I went and I had to meet my dad today. So, yeah, it's been a busy day around here.
So you put the scooter in the back of your truck?
Yes.
That's a big-ass scooter.
It is definitely a challenge muscling that scooter around. It works much nicer if you can find a little hill to back the truck up into and that kind of thing.
Because
it is a big, fucking heavy, pardon my language, scooter.
It is.
Like, I think it weighs 500 pounds or something like that, which is a lot. That's pretty heavy for a motorcycle.
You need a ramp or something for it.
Yeah, well, I have a ramp, but it's a short ramp, which means it has a very high angle
right.
of attack. So
you need to have a little runway. You can mm-hmm. not try to put it up 90-degree angle.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always a challenge, but we dealt with it today, and I got it home now, and I put it away, and I took the battery out of it, so it's gonna sitting in the garage now, all tucked away.
Does it have a little coat on top of it, too?
Well, no. It, not yet. But it might. You can just give me some time.
Do you need to buy one, or do you have one?
Yeah, no, I don't have one.
Yeah, because Faye doesn't trust his roof and his garage. He has to have a blankie on all his vehicles, too.
Yeah, they're all under their blankies.
Now you go to sleep and don't make any noise, and I'll bring you a drink of water later.
Right.
Okay. Were you putting up Christmas decorations, maybe?
Oh, God. Now, don't get me started on this Christmas decorations nonsense. The short answer to your question is, why no? We have not put up any decorations yet.
Yet.
And where are we? We're less than 5 days to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say don't get your hopes up.
I was hoping for a picture. No. I tell you what, last weekend maybe, we don't have many decorations. They all fit into basically an oversized Tupperware thing. And I have a small fake tree that I bought a few years ago. And I went down the basement and I brought them up, and I set them by this place in our dining room. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to that. And then I came home from work the other day, and I noticed where the spot where they had been sitting for many days was now empty.
Uh-huh.
And I looked, and I said, oh, the tree's not up. So next time I talked to Eric, I said, did you get tired of that sitting there? So he took it back down, and he's like, yeah, I figured you weren't going to do it, so I took them back down. So that's how I decorated this year.
Well, I support you in not decorating for Christmas.
I love Christmas trees, though.
You know, we have a Christmas tree, too, in the basement. And Mr. Anderson was wanting to put it up today. I don't know if we'll get to that, but I can't be bothered.
I know. We had a live tree last year for the first time in years, and I really liked it. I love that smell.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas was always my big holiday of the year. Why don't you like Christmas? I mean, last year, I remember, I don't know if I got you to come on, get on Skype on Christmas Day, or not. But I didn't know your hatred of Christmas at the time. And right. I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and not just tweet it to you.
Uh-huh.
And you begrudgingly got up and was like, Merry Christmas. You're like, I was in bed, I think is what you said.
Yeah, I'm pretty much anti-Christmas. I don't subscribe to this idea of, you know, having to buy gifts for everybody just because it's the 25th of December. It's unimportant to me. I have no interest in being involved in many aspects of this. You know, we have a tree and we put the Christmas tree up and we have a couple of decorations that get scattered around the living room. I don't put Christmas lights on my house. You know, I might in the future. I mean, I could change my attitude toward this, but this is really how I look at it. I don't want to spend 6 to 10 hours of my life getting all this crap out and setting all this stuff up and doing all this work. I have more important things to do that I could spend 6 to 8 hours or 6 to 10 hours on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it hard to commit to that sort of time, that time commitment of doing these chores. And I don't appreciate this Christianity aspect of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, apparently Jesus arrived on the 25th day of December. And I just think that's all a bunch of malarkey. You know, I don't support Christianity at the best of times, although I respect people who do. I'm fine. If you want to have Jesus in your life, that's all up to you. I don't support this the way that we're encouraged by all the advertising to get out there and buy these presents for people. Make sure you have a Christmas card and Santa or some reindeers on it. And I'm not interested in any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up in a house where my mom definitely decorated for all the holidays. When we were growing up, putting up the Christmas tree was a big deal because there were certain ornaments that you would recognize year after year, so there was some kind of specialness to that. Christmas, when I was growing up, also was the one time of year when we absolutely actually got spoiled.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, here comes the booty. This is the only time of year you're going to get multiple presents because our birthdays were very, you know, just here, maybe here's a sweater, here's a nice meal cooked at home, here's a cake. We just didn't get gifts throughout the year. So that was like the one time a year where I felt like spoiled brat.
Right, yep. Yeah. You were appreciated or acknowledged.
Yeah. So I love that. And I loved, I guess, just that feeling of I deserve this. Everything I got at Christmas, I just, like, I deserve this so much. I just wanted it and loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Christmas card thing, I like sending Christmas cards. I like getting real mail.
Yeah,
I don't.
Me too.
So, I mean, and I'm a petty woman. I make a mental tally in my head. I'm like, well, I sent so-and-so a card. No response.
I'm still waiting.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that about a couple of friends who live on the other side of the state. I'm like, said to Eric, I said, I sent so-and-so a card. No thank you on Facebook. No card in the mail. Thanks a lot. But, I mean, that's petty of me, but.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind sending out Christmas cards, too. And I actually thought I might send out some Christmas cards today.
Oh, you haven't sent them yet?
No, of course not.
Oh, geez.
Since I've gotten all my chores done, and I have, what have I got? I've got about 6 more hours before I have to go to sleep and go to work tomorrow, so I might actually get some Christmas cards done, but don't get your hopes up, anybody.
Oh, shoot. You have my address, right?
I have your Christmas card right here beside my desk.
Oh, you haven't stuck it in the box yet?
Nope.
What stopped you? It fits. It'll fit right in there.
Well, I was keeping it out just in case I needed to decorate the house.
Oh, What does it say on the back? Can you read it to everybody?
Oh. Well, actually, no, I can't.
Oh, because it's not really there?
Well, I have your envelope here on my pile of Christmas cards, but the card itself is out in the house on display.
Oh.
I can try to remember what it says.
Okay, do.
This is my best recollection. Merry Christmas, Father Christmas, Faye, and Mr. Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas to you, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. That's what you actually wrote.
Yeah.
I'm not paraphrasing here. This is verbatim. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And then I can't remember the rest.
I thought I said something like, may the new year bring you yada, 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 filled with blah, 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 something like that. I thought it was more of a cohesive sentence. And then I believe I put love, Brenda and Eric.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of little love notes.
Mm-hmm.
I will have you know that I finally found one of your secret messages.
Again? I didn't leave any secret messages. But go ahead.
Oh, maybe it was the little Aussie Battler.
What is it?
I found a piece of notepad paper that hidden halfway through the pad, there's a note that says, hack into Faye's account and take $1,000 a day. Was that you?
No, that's funny. I wish I'd done something like
and
that.
And then there was another message that said, format Faye's hard drive. Another. So that must be the little Aussie Battler.
That's cute.
And just so he knows, I've never mentioned this before, but I also found his little koala bear with the flag that he left behind.
No, he didn't just give that to you. He left it.
No, he just stuck it somewhere. That and a magnet of a turtle or some kind of turtle.
Mm.
So I've been finding these little gifties.
That's
so
sweet. No, I'm the little 4-year-old that got enough allowance put together. And if I give you something, you're going to open it in front of me and I'm going to see your reaction.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the patience to see if you'll find it. I'm a horrible person. Can you recollect into your childhood and tell me anything pleasant you might have had about something you and your family did at Christmas?
Well, actually, yeah. I have a lot of fond Christmas memories. We were German in our upbringing, so we always celebrated Christmas on the 24th, Christmas Eve. The real Germans in the world celebrated at midnight on Christmas Eve, but we didn't. We would have our Christmas dinner on the 24th, and we'd open presents after dinner. And this was something that I always remember and will stick with me for all of my life. That was very traditional in our house. And I've always had fond memories of Christmas, and I often remember that we would go out and play in the snow. We'd always have some sort of Christmas tree hunt. We'd used to go out into the tulies and find a Christmas tree and hack it down and drag it back to the truck and bring it home and set it up. So I have lots of fond Christmas memories in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always a really positive and happy time in my family around Christmas.
Did you buy or make stuff for your brothers and your folks? It was pretty much a one-way gravy train most of the time when I was growing up. Like, lots of presents for me, and I never had any money or anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we were always buying. I mean, I don't know who bought, probably not me, but we would go Christmas present shopping, and I would get presents for my brothers, or me and my dad. My family was divorced at this time, so, you know, it was either my mom or my dad. We would go shopping and get presents for each other, which I guess my parents paid for. It was a two-way street for me. And I would always have a Christmas list or wish for a certain Christmas present, which would usually arrive. And I always got good presents.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have one of my most favorite presents was a helicopter.
Ooh.
That, I don't know if it was the Bat-copter or something. But it was what do they call it? The Whirly? I think it was called the the Whirligig or the Whirlycopter, mm-hmm. where you controlled it and it was on like a rod.
Oh yeah.
And it would spin around. It would only fly around in a circle, but you could control it and you could make it go forwards and backwards and spin around really fast. And it had a couple of little props with it. You had to pick up this, I don't know, a bunch of cargo and carry it and drop it. And there were little men and all kinds of things. So that was one of my most favorite Christmas gifts of all time, was that Whirlycopter thing.
Do you have any of your toys from your childhood yet?
No, I don't think so. We moved so often that all my toys would get tossed or lost.
Yeah. Yeah, my folks still live in the house that I grew up in. I have some of my Barbie dolls. I have all the Barbie dolls I ever got, which was about 5. And my baby doll and some of their clothes tucked away. But I just couldn't get rid of them. I don't know why. I mean, they're stuck in my closet. I don't know why I've kept a lot of weird things. Like, I have some notes that I've had since I was in grade school.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just stupid stuff, so.
Yeah. I know my mom would keep all that kind of crap. You know, report cards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any of that stuff.
I think I podcasted about this once, but when I was about 5 years old, I had long hair, and my hair would get tangled, and I'd do a lot of belly aching when my mom would try to comb it. So she got tired of it, so she put in some ponytails and she cut it off real short. And I have that hair from when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty. It's really mm-hmm. pretty auburn color. So, yeah, I have this blob of hair. If I was a true Victorian, I would take them and I would make it into a little brooch or something. You ever seen that in an antique store? Where they've taken
creepy.
It is creepy. They'll take human hair and like crochet with it and make a flower out of it or something.
Wow. Really?
Uh-huh. Ooh. Yeah. Nasty. Huh. Really big ones. I've seen really big ones too. And they used to also take, if like say their lover was going away, they'd take a piece of their hair and they'd tie it around their finger as a memento so they could remember them too.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Yes, I guess.
There's a little bit of trivia, the very little bit of trivia I know, and you do not sound impressed.
Just creepy. People, hair is, I don't know.
Oh, I don't like hair. It's gross.
Yeah.
So gross. I go into the locker room, and I get done swimming, and I'm picking out the shower stall. I want to go in, and if I see something that resembles a small rat in the drain, I will go to another shower.
Oh, Brenda. Oh, we were having such a nice conversation.
Sorry. Well, let's get back into the nice stuff. So, after Christmas comes New Year's. What is your feeling about New Year's parties or New Year's resolutions and stuff?
Well, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person. I don't mind the New Year's parties, though.
Mm-hmm. You can have a whole new level of partying this year since prostitution has been legalized in Canada.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I have to investigate this. I just heard about this. So
your voice definitely went to a higher register when you heard that. You're like, really? It's like, oh my God.
Of course, though, you know, if you can't get caught doing something, there's not much worth doing it, is there?
Oh, yeah. If you have permission, what's the fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, you can still,
anyway.
Well, you can still think of them as dirty, dirty boys. Maybe that will be exciting.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not gonna dull my enthusiasm, but definitely this is a very interesting development, so I'll have to get back to you, and I'll give you a full report of what I discover in my research.
Okay.
You know, New Year's resolutions, I sound like such a Scrooge, don't I?
Kinda.
I don't support Christmas. I don't support New Year's resolutions. It's ridiculous to me to decide on this day I'm going to be a better person. Like, that just sounds inane.
It's kind of an act of desperation. It's like the Monday morning diet. You know, the person who starts, you know, like, oh, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Oh, I have had a really bad day. I'm going to break my diet. I'll start over again on Monday. It's just another way to make you feel like you've got control over your life if you do something like that. I found that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I can't just make these giant changes. I have to do it gradually.
And so, I don't support this idea of, you know, the it's the end of the year, now we have to reevaluate our whole life. I don't know about that. I mean, I guess it's not a bad thing to look at the past year and take a tally of what has occurred and what you might want to change. But I think there's too much onus on a person if they say, okay, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to stop being irritated by the old ladies in the line at the grocery store. So, yeah, I don't really support New Year's resolutions. I support, you know, trying to be a better person, but I think you need to do that on a daily basis, not on January 1st.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much judgment in our culture, in the world, that we really don't live in, what am I saying, we don't live in realistic expectations. Like, we see this group of people, the 1% of the population who have really been successful, we buy into this idea that everybody can look a certain way and have a certain job, and the only reason we're not getting it is because we're not trying hard enough. And I feel like it's putting a lot of unrealistic expectations on our shoulders, causing us more stress than we need. That I was on the tail end of this growing when they really started pushing it. But when I can remember, you know, you can do whatever you want. All you have to do is try as hard as you can. Well, you know, sometimes that just doesn't work. Sometimes you don't have the personality to work for other people and follow their rules.
Well, now this is a real can of worms you're opening up here. Now, I don't know. I think we might need to talk about this in a future Drive Time to Nopa here.
Yeah, but I do think that there's a lot of unnecessary judgment of everybody. You know, people that would never touch your lives. We are constantly sitting and making a decision about how people are living and acting and putting ourselves on some kind of level of, you know, like the big white man who sits around and just judges everybody. Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, there's too many Rush Limbaughs in this world, I think.
Right. And there's the other problem with the society that you and I live in is there's all this, I mean, we are constantly bombarded by advertising and, you know, television programs which are completely unrealistic to begin with, about how we should be living our lives, and Dr. Phil and all that kind of bullshit, which is so far from what reality is for most of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're under this constant ideal that this is the way we should be, this is how we should be.
Mm-hmm. I support some of the developments that have been made in mental health. I don't like being in a household where there's a lot of venting going on constantly. So I think that, like Dr. Phil, sometimes he encourages people to take it down a notch, and I like that because I need a home that's fairly calm.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my partner in crime is a little agitated.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very disconcerting at times.
Yeah.
So, I do support people keeping their emotions in check a little bit, and not just saying the first thing that pops in your head. So,
right.
But that's gotten away from. Let's bring it back. We've gotten way away from New Year's resolutions, because I really don't want to go down that wormhole.
Okay. Okie doke. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Brenda?
Well, my big one is Now, you say that I am always constantly checking in on myself. I'm constantly kind of not correcting, but I'm always critiquing myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has served me a little bit this last many months, because I've been going through my usual barrage of the life in Brenda's head, but I've been trying to step back and go make sense of it. You know, what is this all about? Why am I feeling this way? Let's stop this. I don't want to go to my grave with this crazy ball of stuff in my head constantly ruling my emotions. Like, I'll notice that I'll be by myself here. There's nothing going on. And I'll get myself so wound up about something that has nothing to do with me. Nobody I'm even thinking about is in the room. You know, it's crazy. So my resolution for the new year is to live in the space that I'm in and not constantly create craziness in my head, because I think I do it because I get bored. My work is so mind-numbing that my brain is looking for some kind of stimulation or conflict. So I'm trying to not substitute craziness in my bored head.
Right. Can I tell you a little something about me?
I would like to hear that.
And my attitude towards what makes us crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may have heard about the situation with my dad. My dad's been causing a bit of upset around our family because he's been going a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been looking after himself properly. And I'm not going to get into the details or the meat of this, but this has been quite a stressful time in my life and my brother's and my dad's life as well. And one of the problems I think that we humans experience is that we spend too much effort and we kick these things around in our head, like what you do. You grab onto an idea and it just builds and builds and builds.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a little bit out of control, over expanded, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found too, the situation with my dad has been taking an awful lot of my time and my effort, and it's created a lot of mental unrest in me. I'm quite stressed out about it, and I've been thinking about it a lot. I spend most of my days off away from work. You know, at least 2 out of the 4 days I have, I'm dealing with my father right now. And I think what happens is we get too involved in these things, and I think we need to step away and, like, you know, I could spend every single minute of my time worrying about my father, but in another sense, I refuse to, because I think we let these things rule our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to get away from that. And I think you seem to be coming to this realization too, that you can't be spending all your time worrying about these situations, because it gets overblown and it gets overwrought.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget what's really going on and lose sight of what may be more important than this situation, whether it's real or imagined in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think mine is just also exasperated by a little bit of genetics. There's a lot of anxiety / depression that goes through my family. And just the amount of time I spend by myself. I know on the days where I've got more human contact, I feel a lot calmer. So I always say it, but I don't know if people realize. I feel like an old person who's sitting around waiting for their child to come visit them at the nursing home sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like, oh, my stories are over. What do I do now?
Right. You need this interaction from people.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just a distraction? Is it to distract you from what's beetling around in your head?
It could be, but I think it would be a good distraction to have just some contact. I don't think humans are meant to spend so much time by themselves. I think that that's why we're so, you know, so social. We just kind of, even if we're not talking, just being around other people is somehow a calming effect on, I know I am, calm down when I'm around other people. Yeah, there's a lot of things that it would be just a distraction for. There's things that I just don't know how to change, you know. I don't know how to make more money. I don't know how to go from here in my career or whatnot.
Right.
I think a lot of my frustration is it's just unrealistic expectations sometimes, the need for distraction. And I just feel like I try a lot and not, I don't get the outcome that I want.
Yeah. You feel more successful when you have recognition from people, whether it's just a tweet or a quick Skype conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to settle.
Yeah, it does. It does. It allows me just kind of, if I just touch base with, just like say you, we talk for 20 minutes, let's say, and I just kind of feel like, oh, okay, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's kind of a human thing, don't you?
I think it's a
thing Brenda thing.
You need. It's a Brenda thing.
It's a Brenda thing.
Not necessarily a Brenda thing, but I think there are people in the world who need to have interaction from people in order to make them feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think there are people like me who are happy to go through life for a week without talking to anybody. And that's where we get our peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes in different ways for different people.
Right.
I also recognize, though, from my own perspective, I recognize that I do, too, need to have interaction with other people. But I can also be quite happy to have a solitary existence for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do that every day.
But it's not peaceful for you. Being solitary for you is like acupuncture in the back. It's like a needle. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone.
Yeah. Well, I used to try and drag Eric into my little scheme of talking, and he will quickly hang up on me. I gotta go. I'm at work. I gotta go. Everybody's always busy. So I've tried to recruit him into being my backup, but so I have
right.
to spread it out, I guess. You know, to get to see who's available sometimes.
Right. You know what you need to do, Brenda?
Here's a
job opportunity for you.
Oh dear, what's that say?
You should start up like a Miss Cleo reading your palm telephone job, or maybe you should go and do sex work.
Pardon me?
Telephone sex work, where people would call you and you could talk to people for a living, and then you'd be great. Hi. Thank you for calling 1-800-BOO-LOVE. Get ready for some hot boo love chat. If you would like live action role play,
press 1.
If you would like Mormon mommies,
press 2.
If you would like Amish angels,
press 3.
If you would like keeping it real,
press 4. Role play.
Oh, you are casting a spell on me. You're making me shape change into the animal domain. Meow. I'm dazzled by the ethereal plane, but I will give you 5 penalty points if you polymorph into a dwarf.
Ugh, who wants to screw a hobbit? That's Mormon mommies.
Hi, I'm Tammy, and this is my sister wife, Joanne, and this is my sister wife, Lisa, and this is my sister wife, Betty, and this is my sister wife...
Oh, I can't do this. It's like a choir. Amish angels.
You are listening to Amish Angela. Hello, I'm Rebecca, and I am moist from a day of plowing. Let me undo my top straight pin to expose my throbbing Adam's apple. Forgive me, you talk of barn raising has excited me. Oh, husband, not to be happy about this. Oh, I need a beverage.
Oh, I can't do this. What's the next one? Sounds like my mother-in-law. Four.
Hi, this is Brenda.
Oh, hi, Brenda. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? Oh, gosh, some jeans. I've had these for a couple of years. I think I've worn them 2 days now in a row.
Really?
A Star Wars t-shirt. It's got some holes in it.
I like Star Wars.
From the chemicals that I use when I clean. So, yeah, that's what I'm wearing.
What do you smell like?
Do I smell good?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Mostly I smell like Pine Sol and Pledge at this point. I've been cleaning all day.
Oh, I love that pine.
Maybe some bleachy smells in there. I've had to really scrub out a few
nasty
toilets.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of like a crime scene, if
you
will.
You sound criminal.
So, I don't know if I smell that good or not.
You smell delicious.
Can you hold on just a second?
What's going on?
Molly!
Oh.
Get down!
Oh, who's that? Who's Molly?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Is that your girlfriend?
Now, where were we?
Oh, Molly.
Oh, yeah. Am I horny?
Yeah, I'm horny.
Maybe. I'd have to think about it. I can't just give you a straight answer on that. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What's going on in the background there? What's all the noise?
No, I'm just playing this Words with Friends, and Peter beats me every time.
Oh, you like it rough, huh?
God, it pisses me off.
Who's Peter?
I swear he cheats.
Is that your boyfriend?
Oh. Hey, wait, I got a tweet.
I can cheat on you too, you know.
You want me to talk dirty to strangers?
Well, maybe we could come up with something not in the sex work field.
Just sit around and go.
Maybe you could start up Busy Bee Cleaning Advice. Call 1-800-BUSY-BEE and you could give people advice on how to clean up their messes.
I like that idea. That's nice. But can I tell you? This is what it is. This is what I long for during the course of the day. Even if I'm around customers sometimes, I'm putting on a show. I'm being polite. I'm saying the generic things that are acceptable to say. What I want is that somebody that I can joke around with and just be goofy with. And that's what gets me anxious because, you know, I could call my mom and I could listen to her talk to me and then try to get off the phone in 5 seconds, you know, or my sister, I could listen to her be bored and try to get off the phone with me. But I guess that's why a lot of women like to have kids. They create their own little group and then they have these little ducklings that follow them around all the time. So, I mean, I don't want ducklings. You know, I used to be more like Mr. Anderson. I wanted to take the dogs with us. And Eric's like, no, we're not taking the dogs. So I got used to not. But, you know, there was a time I would have liked to put Maude in a backpack and take her around with me all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I just feel safer in numbers more than anything.
Maybe you'll have to come up with a New Year's resolution. You're going to have to come up with some kind of New Year's resolution, Brenda.
Why? Why do I have to?
I don't know. You're not settled in your life. You're still working out what it is that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. True. True enough.
So no New Year's resolutions for you then?
My New Year's resolution is to less about concepts and more about goals because a lot of times I have these ideas and they don't ever come to fruition. So I'm going to try and do stuff and not just think about it. Like, I have a lot of ideas what I think would be cool, crafting things. Of course, I'm going to come see you.
Right.
And I think I just want to try and maybe start reading more. I've gotten way out of the habit of reading. It's hard for me to concentrate. So I just feel like I was looking up online, like, my symptoms. I don't want to label myself, but, like, why do I feel so anxious? And I think it's anxiety, this feeling that something bad's going to happen. I feel like part of me wants somebody to come down and make everything okay, and part of me would so resent being told what to do. So I feel like I'm at the crest of being, realizing that I'm the master of my own fate, and I'm finally starting to realize that, right. You know, something most people go through in their teens.
Or 20s.
Yeah.
I don't think we really mature until after we're 20 or into our 30s.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. When you decided to take Mr. Anderson way back when and say, this is the one, and now you created this life together, so now you're interacting day after day. When you get up and you're thinking about your day, how much of it are you putting on contingency of what he's going to want? Are you just thinking about what you want or need to do, or are you totally putting him in slots of the day? The reason I ask you this is because sometimes I feel like I'm constantly on call for something. Like, I need to be at the ready for Eric. And I think that's a female thing. And I'm wondering, do you feel like that? Sometimes I feel like that's my anxiety. It's like, I need to be able to stop and do what he wants and stop and do what they want. I don't feel like when I wake up, I am like, okay, I'm in control of my day. This is what I want to get done. This is what I need to get done. I feel. Mm-hmm. How do you think when you wake up?
Well, there is a certain amount of uncertainty at the beginning of the day. But, I mean, it's a given that I'm going to be cooking dinner for Mr. Anderson, or at least making sure he gets fed for one meal of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my concerns go around eating. I schedule myself to be there for meal times, usually just dinner. And then, like today, we went out for lunch together. We learned early on in our relationship that Mr. Anderson is the one who goes with the flow. So, I mean, I'll ask him every day, what do you want to get? What are you doing today? What do you get accomplished? What do you want to get accomplished? And I get a non-committal response, right?
Mm-hmm.
So typically, he is at my beck and call if we're going to need to do anything together. And, you know, I'm very detail and task-oriented, so he knows what's going to happen for his day, you know, if we have common goals to obtain. So I wouldn't say that I'm completely at his beck and call, but there is a little bit of uncertainty because he's hard to tie down. And I do sort of wait around and figure out, what are you doing and how is it going to affect me? But then after a time, I just say, okay, I'm done with you. I'm doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm. See, when Eric gets up every day, he is already constructing a list of things that he wants done. What are we going to do today? So if I'm lying in bed and it's 7:30 on a Saturday morning, which I think is a pretty still reasonable hour to be in bed.
Agreed.
And I'm even lying there awake, let's say I'm playing Words with Friends with somebody or watching cartoons. He'll come in and he'll just kind of pace around the bed, you know, and I'd be like, you're going to get up? What are you going to do? When were you thinking about going swimming today? And da 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 da. And it starts me off feeling anxious. I feel like it's every day is kind of dealing with the outside world is stressful to me. So when the weekend comes and I feel like I can just decompress, relax. And then he's coming at me, like, because I normally don't have to deal with him during the day. And then I feel like, and then I feel like when I, let's say I tweet you and you don't respond, it's all I can do, or Peter or Mark or whoever, and I don't get any answer for a while. Part of me feels like I'm sitting there on call waiting for that to happen, when I know realistically it can't be that way. But that's what I feel like. I just feel like I'm always like on call for something. And, mm-hmm. it gets the better of me some days.
Can you not express to Eric that I'm going to lay in this bed till 8:30 and then I'll be available for this, this, and this?
I do.
Oh. And does that not appease him?
It will. It will to a certain extent, but let's say we're going to walk out the door. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And if there's even a slight hesitation, like, oh, I forgot this, and I go to go get it, I get one of these. And sits down. I thought you were ready. And I'm like, dude, just let, you know, if I forget this, then we won't be able to do what we're going to do. You know, just calm down, that kind of thing. Or if I'm in the car getting ready to drive, because I drive all the time, and if I'm fussing around with something for a second or two, getting something out of my purse, I just like, just like, he's always waiting for me. Like, he eats really fast. I'm sitting it, and he'll be like getting up, like leaving, and I'm like, can I finish my food, please? He's always on a faster timetable than I am.
Right. You're going to have to realize that that's his problem, not yours.
It causes friction.
Well, I can imagine why. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he's the one who's causing the friction.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, like, he's very impatient, it sounds like to me.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, and he's driven by his stomach.
So this is what I do. I don't have the exact same problem with Mr. Anderson, but one of my tactics is to distract him with something else to do. Can you not get Eric to go do something else? Like, couldn't he go fill the car up with gas while you're finishing your sandwich in the restaurant?
Hmm.
Or could he go pay? That's what you have to do. You have to give him something else to occupy him while you're futzing around. Really, the true problem, though, is that he's impatient and he's being rude and unruly. Sorry, Eric.
He doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I would say, I don't know what I would do.
So that's kind of where I was coming from when you established your relationship with Mr. Anderson. It always seems like with a man and a woman, you know, a lot of the times the woman is the one that's at the, like you said, at the beck and call of the man.
I don't agree. I'm sorry. This thing you have...
In my family, that's the way it works. Maybe not all families. That's the family I grew up with. The man was the one that set the timetable and the woman fell in line. That's what I'm basing it on.
Not in my family. In my family, the women were always the power brokers.
Oh.
Just traditionally, my mother's family, even my dad's family, his mother was in charge. I don't agree. I'm sorry. I will never support you in this.
Well, you don't have to support me. You just have to acknowledge that sometimes it's the men that do it.
Yeah, okay. I will. Yes, I will acknowledge that.
Yeah, it's just that was my dynamic growing up. Whatever your father says, you know, if you ask for something, let's see what your dad says. My mom would handle the everyday little things, but ultimately it was my dad that made the decision about how long we were someplace and when we left and if we went. And he was just kind of like this silent leader off in the background that was the puppet master to the family.
Right. So how do you think that you could be more like your father and start taking control and start telling Eric, listen, take a pill. go sit in the toilet while I finish my lunch.
Mm-hmm. I do that. I do that all the time. But...
And what kind of response do you get?
Well, you know, he sits there and he waits and such, but it just causes friction, and I guess my never-ending want for just peace, I don't like that. I don't like it when there's sarcasm floating through the room, and that's what'll happen. He'll say something sarcastic. Or the other day, for no good reason, he said, you know, sometimes you kind of act like a baby. And I sat there, and I gave him the look of, like, are you fucking kidding me? Because he started laughing. He's like, oh, you mean like pot calling the kettle black? And I'm like, uh-huh. I mean, I don't, he gives me constant input on things I don't necessarily need.
Right. Well, this is why we love to hate our spouses, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. So that's what I think. It's the combination of, getting back to my New Year's resolution, I think the combination of wanting to talk to somebody and then feeling kind of resentful for when I do get it, it's just a lot of unrest. I guess I think I need to get to that acceptance part of that. If I really want something, I have to either be willing to say what I want and deal with the consequences, or just realize that it's not always just going to be 70 degrees and cloudy skies.
Right. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, because it seems like guys tend to, like Eric, he'll say something, he'll be pissy, and then he's over it. Well, I'm ruminating about it for hours afterwards.
Yeah. Well, Brenda, I don't think we'll be able to solve all our problems before the new year, so maybe we better just hope for the best for 2014.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Whether you're going to make a New Year's resolution or not, I won't be making any, but you can if you feel you need to.
Okay.
One thing that's always for certain, here in Tonopah, it's always going to be 55 degrees and cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, I want to thank Ranger John, who is our most dedicated listener contributor, who always sends us a message to fayandbrenda@gmail.com. Thank you, Ranger John, for your recent comments. The Laughing Buddha has sent in some emails to us as well in the past. And you know, folks, you can always call us at 319-535-0266. That's 319-535-0BOO.
Mm-hmm. So until next time, Faye.
Merry fucking Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, and bah fucking humbug. Back to you.
Thanks for listening to Drive Time Tonopah, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.